We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
I am a white girl that has a kombucha business and likes making sourdough. Why did you have to like...
Red flag, red flag.
I know, come on. I mean, like, I also voted for Bernie.
Hello and welcome to It's a Lot, a podcast about things that are a lot. On this show, we have honest conversations about the highs and lows of things that are a lot. Social media, parenthood, and more. When it comes to complex topics, online discourse can lack nuance and empathy. That's why we're leaning into deep conversations, making space for conflicting, messy feelings, and keeping it real about how we feel. We could all use a little more of that sometimes. I'm your host, Emily Hasney Lynch. I am here with Kat Eddy, the owner of Kombucha and a mom of one, soon to be two. Welcome to the show, Kat.
Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to chat with you tonight about what you're expecting about the whole world you're walking into with two under two. How are you feeling?
I think I'm in like that phase beforehand where it all seems great and I have no idea really what I'm in for, but you know, in theory, it's good.
Even before my first, I had no idea what I was getting myself into and I felt like, oh, we're going to have this nice little baby. We're mm-hmm. going to start a family and you don't know what it'll actually feel like day to day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think this time around, I have a little bit better sense of the sleeplessness that awaits mm-hmm. me. But I don't know. I'm not terribly worried about it as much as I was before, I guess.
You've done it once, so.
Right. Yeah. I kind of know that there's like a timeline to it.
So how far along in the pregnancy are you now? And then how old is your daughter?
Okay. So right now I'm almost 35 weeks, which to anybody who doesn't count their time in weeks means I'm about a month away from having this baby. And my daughter, she's about 19 months, which again, for anyone who doesn't count their life in months, is just over a year and a half.
And how's the pregnancy been overall this time around?
Pretty chill. I was really chill with my first daughter, Sylvie. She really was a wonderful baby. She's inside and out. And this baby too, I did get a little bit more sick in the first trimester this time around, which was a surprise for me. But I took like vitamins and stuff. It worked out.
Did you find out the sex for this one? Or
I'm having another girl.
Oh, so yeah, exciting.
Yeah, so strong girl.
And do
vibes.
You have names picked out already and everything?
We have a couple of names we're between, but we haven't picked one yet.
Did you know for Sylvie going into it?
For Sylvie, we also were between two names and this like crazy thing happened where we felt like we had this sign towards the name Sylvie, which is basically the Cliff Notes version of it was we were in the Catskills and we were going to get breakfast one morning. We were between the names Sylvie and Willa and we were going to get breakfast one morning. So I was looking at breakfast places and there is a coffee shop breakfast place called Willa's in Catskill. And I said to my husband, I said, oh my God, we have to go here, you know. And it was really cute. And we're waiting in line. There's a bunch of people in line. And the person ahead of us gives their name for their coffee. And her name happens to be Sylvie.
Wow.
I know. Huh. Like, I feel like the names are not that common. Willa
yeah,
or
what
Sylvie.
What are the odds of that?
Right. So we ended up talking to this woman. She was like an older French lady, which is Sylvie is the French version of Sylvia. So it's just the craziest occurrence that we went to this random town, went to this random place, and then we met Sylvie. So I felt like it was a huge sign that our baby was Sylvie.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what you land on with your second one.
I know. I wish like there would be like a cool sign for that as well.
We were debating in the hospital until the very last minute.
Really?
Like we were we're like, we need to pick a name and a middle name so we can be discharged. And we left without a middle name. And they're like, you need to call us in 48 hours and tell us the middle name.
Okay, like, not to put you on the spot, but any regrets? Like, do you feel like, oh, wow, I really wish I went with
the
other name?
We love his name. His middle name, we're like, meh. Like, people don't really use middle names that much. Yeah. So I guess it doesn't matter. But
I don't even have a middle name.
No, it's funny.
My parents thought my name was, like, long enough. My sister has one, but I don't.
That's so interesting.
But I'm also the second child. Maybe they just like lost their gusto with it. Uh-huh. I don't know.
You seem to be doing just fine without a middle name. So
I survived.
All good.
I survived.
So what are you expecting will be really hard about having two under two?
I don't know. Like everything, I guess. Well, I'm really eager, I would say, to see how Sylvie blossoms. Once this new baby comes along, I think she will be fairly jealous. I feel like that's going to be like pretty normal for any kid that's a solo kid. But I'm expecting, she's very resilient. Kids are very resilient. I'm expecting her to like all of a sudden maybe start like really confidently going up and down the stairs by herself and like maybe even talking a lot more. Like she says words at the moment, but she doesn't, she communicates, but it's not in English. I'm not sure what it is, but we're getting there and she's close. And I guess I'm eager to see how things change for her once this new baby comes around. Because honestly, if she doesn't have like a big developmental leap with that kind of thing, it's going to be exhausting. But I think she will. She's getting really good at stairs, actually. Just before coming here, we live in a house that's like three stories, so we carry her quite a lot, and especially downstairs. And she did the one set of stairs like six times going up and down. So I was like, okay, wow. You know, like we're getting there.
Go Sylvie.
She's so proud of herself, aww, too. So cute. Hopefully we'll all make it through. Like I said a little bit earlier, you know, it's nice that we've done it once before, so we kind of know somewhat of the timeline of things. Like, how long are we going to be sleepless? How long might I be breastfeeding for? Like, how, you know, like, these little steps forward as little humans become independent people. I think that'll be, like, something that my husband and I will really, like, hold on to as far as just looking, not trying to wish away the early days, but also like kind of looking forward to the fact that like, because as you probably know, it gets tense with your partner. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that comes from just being like depleted on every level.
Totally. Do you have a plan for like dividing up the labor between you and your partner and the two kids? To handle the tensions too that come up?
I guess I am definitely, not to like sound like a broken record here, but I feel like I am trying to lean on like the fact that like we've been here, we've done this, and it's not over even with just one child. Like, you know, like we still get annoyed with each other, or we still like tensions can get high because stimulation gets high. And so like figuring out in the moments that we have now, like how we're dealing with that. But as far as like division of labor, everyone loves to ask a pregnant woman, are you going to breastfeed? And, you know, my answer to that is the same with as it was with Sylvia, which is like, yeah, I'd love to, you know, but we'll see how it goes. I'm expecting it'll go well. I did with Sylvie, and I've heard with your second baby that it just comes right in. I guess I do kind of have a slight expectation that my husband will take a little bit more of the lead with Sylvie, our older daughter, because he won't necessarily be like tethered to her in the same way that I will be with our new baby. I know he's fine with that.
Do you have a plan if breastfeeding doesn't work out for what you'll do or how you'll handle any of the emotions that come up?
We'll definitely do formula. We did formula a lot with Sylvie too. Mm-hmm. She was a big eater. She still is a big eater. Even though we were breastfeeding, we definitely did formula as well. And I don't know how much this like is relevant to the whole story, but yeah, like Sylvie, she did do formula for the first month, and we ended up not breastfeeding because I was so sick after she was born. I developed like really severe preeclampsia. I had to be hospitalized after coming home. We were in the hospital for days after she was born, and then after coming home as well. And then like kind of once my blood pressure got under control, I got like a virus. It was just like, hit after hit.
Awful. Yeah.
And then of course, as you know, like when you're after birth, you have like this crazy hormone drop. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just like kind of a wreck, mm-hmm. you know, and I had a C-section, even though I feel like that was like the least of my problems, like healing up from being like cut open that way was yeah. like literally the least of my problems. So I was like pretty ready to be like, she's a formula baby. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it. And my husband, he really did encourage me to do breastfeeding. And at that point, like, you know, not to be too graphic, but like there wasn't anything there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So because I had just kind of, I was so exhausted, I couldn't think about like pumping. I ended up like relactating. It was crazy.
Wow.
So we did like pumping for a little bit, and then she just like latched one day. She's such a chill baby. She was just like, yeah, I'll latch.
That's wild. I can't believe with all that medical stuff, and then you were able to do it. Wow.
I know. It does seem like kind of a weird miracle, but you know, all that to be said, I definitely was not like, I was like a just enough for it, and maybe for like a normal baby, like she was hungry. So
I feel like there's so much social content from over suppliers who are like, watch me stash all my milk yeah. in the freezer. And it's like, screw you. I don't want to see this. It's so disheartening.
It really is. And I'm just like, wow. I'm really impressed when I see that. And I just yeah. like, I feel like even now I have like this disillusionment of like I just said, like, oh, I've heard it's better on your second baby. Like, I'm preparing, like, mm-hmm. I got the breast milk storage bags. Like, we're going to be, like, rich in breast milk, but I don't know if that's true or not.
I only made it 2 months with breastfeeding, and I was, like, mostly exclusively pumping because he was really early, and yeah. we had a lot of medical issues, too.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm going to push through. I want to save the money. Like, formula is so expensive.
Right.
And then my husband was like, if this is destroying your mental health, like, we shouldn't have you keep doing this. Like, I kept skipping pumping sessions and getting clogs, and I'd be so angry and cranky, and it was just brutal.
It's so much work. It really is so much work. Yes, it's beautiful and magical and all that, but it's, like, slightly, I don't want to, like, say that it's, like, it's slightly, like, dehumanizing, too. Like,
totally.
Or, like, you've lost all sense of like self with it yeah. as well.
I read like some horror and body horror, and I couldn't read that anymore after pregnancy or breastfeeding because it's almost like body horror with a tiny creature latching onto you in like a way that's sometimes painful at the beginning yeah. and all of that.
Yeah. yeah. And you're just like, it feels a little sick. Mm-hmm. But it is like also, so I totally get how it is beautiful and magical too. I'm just
so
like,
cool that our bodies can do this, but yeah. also like, what the fuck?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair yeah. enough. I do, when I got pregnant again, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to breastfeed again. I'm kind of like looking forward to it, I guess, but again, I'm really trying not to like wish away the early days, mm-hmm. but as
were
you know,
the early days hard with Sylvie?
Not like it didn't seem it until the days got to be the later days. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, wow. Like,
and how much later is the later days?
I don't
so much
know.
Better?
Like 2 months is great. 4 months is great. 6 months is yeah. great. And then like a year onward is like, whoa.
Mm.
I don't know. Do you I'm feel the same
I'm
way?
I'm entering that era because he's one now.
Yeah.
But yeah. Around like 10 months, I was like, okay, this is starting to get a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Like, but we're also in the like trying to just launch myself into everything.
Yeah.
Trying to kill myself era. It's very alarming. Yeah.
But it also feels good, right? Like mm-hmm. to kind of like flex that part of your brain. I think at one point, at least for me, I was like, is this over? Is like business owner / like person who can just, in my mind, do anything, like figure it out and do anything. Is that person over? Because I'm putting all of my do anything power into uh-huh.
protecting like, and caring for a child.
Yeah, because yeah. in the beginning, I think what's so exhausting is that like all of a sudden, everything everyone says, your life is different. But like literally the air you breathe is not the same, you know, like you're just like all of a sudden, you know, you can't even eat the same way as you used to. And you can't sit down. You have like zero mental space for yourself. It's so exhausting yeah. in that way. And I'm really looking forward to it not being nearly as exhausting that way since I've done it before. But it is something that you just can't prepare for
mm-hmm.
no matter how many reels you watch.
Yeah, so true. Do you have a lot of like overstimulation right now in the toddler era?
She's so chill. I will say, girl's got lungs, though. When she does decide to do it, she can really scream. I was joking with her pediatrician that I think she will have a future as a horror film actress. Mm. She's got the perfect high pitch scream. I used to like hear a ringing in my ears, but now I think I might have lost some of that.
She the next like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh my God. I wish. That would be so sick. I love Jamie Lee Curtis.
That would be really cool. Yeah. Yeah. No, I have a very loud little dude too. So I'm very used to the overstimulation of the sounds.
But I mean, in general, she's like, you know, we just went to Lucky's for dinner and like this happens all the time. The table next to us was like, your daughter is so like, she's so good. She didn't have a peep out of her. I mean, she is. She's pretty quiet until she like screams once in a while.
I guess I don't have a lot of other babies to compare mine to, because like he'll be eating and when he's happy and eating he's just like you know, just like, really chatty guy. So far, at least.
She sings a lot.
That's so cute.
It's awesome. Both me and my husband are musical. My husband's in a band and I actually have a degree in music. It's really cool to see that she's so musical and like it seems really innate, you know?
Yeah.
But she can sing at least four songs. Like, she doesn't know the words, but she's, you know, she's na-na-na-na-na.
Uh-huh.
It's like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, Wheels on the Bus, Frère Jacques. Man, what's the other one? But she sings them, like, very distinctly. I'm just like, that to me really blows me away.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cooler than talking. I told the pediatrician about it. I was like, this is cooler than talking, right? She's fine.
We kept wondering if he'll be like a drummer when he grows up or something, because he loves like banging on things. He's got like a real good sense of rhythm.
Yeah. Well, they can start a band together.
Yeah. That'd be so cute. Yeah. Little neighborhood kids band.
I love it.
Do you think your relationship with Sylvie will change once the second one comes along?
Oh, gosh. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I really wanted to have a second kid for Sylvie, like for my first child, you know, so that she would have a sibling. I really thought of it like, when we get old and die, she will still have a family member, you know? Like, she has a cousin, but I do think there's, like, a lot of people that I know who are our age or older that have one kid, and I'm not trying to say, like, one way is better than the other. I definitely think our lives would be easier if we only had one kid, and we would have a little bit more money if we only had one kid. I totally get that, but I just felt like I, like, needed her to have a sibling. So, yeah, will my relationship change with Sylvie? Yeah. Well, of course. Clayton really, when we found out we were pregnant, I think he really mourned the idea of her just, like, having all of our love and attention, like, exclusively.
Yeah.
I think TBD on, like, how that really feels later, because like, we just can't, like, this is definitely a question, like, I don't really know. But I'm expecting that, like, our hearts grow and like we have the same love that we have for Sylvie and, you know, maybe we don't have quite the same attention span, at least in the early days, but I'm hoping over time it all just kind of blends into like, it just is like we are one family unit, you know what I mean? It's not just like, it's all not like all hyper laser focused on one kid. It's like both kids and my husband and me and all of us.
When you were deciding to have a second, did you ever worry that you wouldn't love the second one as much because Sylvie's so great? Like, I worry about that sometimes if we have a second.
Yeah. No. But I think, okay, not to flip it on you, but like, did you feel like the intense like love and like all these crazy feelings, like the moment they put your son in your arms. Yeah, same. And like, so, and no, then you find out that like, that's kind of normal. What they, but everything everyone tells you is that like the moment you see your child, you're going to be like flooded with like crazy love for them.
And I was just in total shock.
I was in shock too.
Teeth chattering and just saying like, what the fuck over and over.
Girl, same.
Yeah.
Like,
a gnarly experience.
It really is. So, you know, I kind of expect it to be like that for a minute. And then once she starts to show me a little bit of her personality, of course, I'm going to find that I love her just as much as mm-hmm. I love Sylvie.
Do you feel like you bonded with Sylvie a lot, like during pregnancy and with this second one? Or is it kind of like, I have no idea what's going on in
there? Am I a terrible mom? Like, not really. Like, no, I'm same. Just like, I know, like, I want to be like this trad wife for this podcast and be like, woo, like, yes, like, we talk. But like, no, you know, I think what is fun though is, so my job is like so physically involved. Mm. It is kind of fun to be like, you know, if I'm getting in some weird, crazy crouched position or whatever, she's having to figure that out too. And it's definitely not the same once they're on the outside. I'm like, somehow I'm like, tie you up over here. don't get in any of this kombucha or like cleaning chemical or something.
Yeah.
She doesn't really come with me actually at all because it's too crazy.
Yeah. No, I felt like I had no idea what was going on in there. And I had an anterior placenta, so I like didn't feel any kicks or anything, like hardly at all. And he was so early. So
yeah,
I didn't feel like I knew him at all. He was a month early.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like,
I was like, who is this in my arms? Like,
yeah,
I didn't know anything about him really. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of little kids in your family?
No, not really.
Yeah. Same. And like Clayton, he comes from a huge family, my husband. And so he's been around like little kids always. So I feel like very lucky that he was just like totally knew like what to do. I was also just so swollen. I could barely hold her. It was crazy. So I'm hoping this time around a little bit different.
What are you expecting will be like really joyful and fun about the 2 under 2 era?
I'm just really hoping that Sylvie loves her little sister. You know, I'm not trying to put any expectations on her to like immediately like love her little sister. Like I said, I think she'll probably be kind of jealous, but I'm hoping, you know, after a little bit, she really, because she loves like little stuffed animals and dolls and snuggling them. And she even has, I got her a baby doll for, I think, Easter. It was so to prepare her. So when we have our baby, she can have her baby. And sometimes she feeds the baby doll with the little bottle. And it's very cute. So I guess joyful moments like would for us or for me would be that Sylvie really like connects with her. I think that would take a lot of pressure. And it would feel like, I don't really have much to compare it to, but it's kind of like, I guess, for people who might have like two dogs and like one dog can't hang with the other dog versus like their best friends. I don't know how people do the whole separate, and I don't want my kids to feel like it's this competition between the two of them. You know, I'm almost hoping that they're close enough in age that they'll feel like really connected, but I'm sure that that can backfire as well.
I feel like I see the funniest videos where it's like 5% of the time it's like the cutest, sweetest snuggles between the older one and the little one, and the other 95% of the time it's like aggressive chaos of like rocking them in their bouncer and like hi baby. So maybe you'll have some of that like chaotic fun affection too.
I'm assuming so, and I'm also assuming that like this new baby will probably like grow up a little faster than Sylvie too, just because she has Sylvie to look up to and to show her how to do everything. Yeah. So I guess I'll be, I don't know if that will be like a joyful thing, but it's definitely something I'm going to keep my eye on of like, okay, is she progressing faster than Sylvie did because she has this role model right in front of her?
It'll be fun to see it all unfold.
I think so.
Well, let's take a little break and then we'll keep going with our next set of questions.
Sounds good.
Are you interested in things? Especially how they would be ranked by siblings, just looking for a reason to lovingly eviscerate each other? Then we've got the show for you. Murphy's Rank the World. A podcast where three siblings find a way to fight while comparing relatively milquetoast objects. Like, what is the best sandwich or who is the best Muppet? You know, good family fun, but probably with a few swears. If that sounds like a good time to you, find us now on the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Hello, Rochester. This is Richard B. Colon
and Kwati Donnell.
We are the curators of the Behind the Glass Gallery, where we host monthly receptions on First Friday, showcasing three underrepresented artists from the Rochester area.
And on this podcast network, you can listen to us speak to these monthly artists to get another lens on their medium and how they contribute amazing things to the Rochester arts community.
Catch us at 240 East Main Street every First Friday and
on the Lunch Adore Podcast Network.
So, Kat, I want to hear all about your business baby, Kat Bucha. How did that come to be back in the day?
The real answer is kind of like by accident, I suppose. I got into kombucha making. So my business, Kat Bucha, we make kombucha. The name comes from early days Instagram, just like hashtagging it. Mm-hmm. And then I was only like 26 when it got started. So... Wow. When I named it or like made, you know, the Instagram for it, and first when I got like a DBA for it, I didn't know what I was doing, you know. Mm-hmm. I just named it that. And then it took off, and I would maybe like a nugget of advice for anyone else, like maybe don't name the business like a play on your own name. It just feels weird as you get older, but I can't change it now. And honestly, it's good. And okay, maybe people are being nice, but they tell me they're like, oh, it's good because you get it kind of mixed up with the word kombucha and catbucha. And so I don't know. As far as like how did it get started, I just was kind of into home brewing it. And I had like the right amount of being young and thinking like, why wouldn't it be me to do something like this or to get it started? And I just didn't give up on it, I guess. Like, I just kind of kept going with it, you know? I made the business plan. I was reaching out to places about where I could make it since, you know, it is a food. You have to, like, have a space. And once you kind of do one hurdle, it opens up more questions and more doors. And so then you start doing the next hurdles. And then that's kind of how it became a business was... sort of just by accident, just by trying, and then you become more and more legit, and here we are. It's been, oh my goodness, like 8 years.
Wow, that's a long haul. Gotta have a big party at 10.
I know. I'm like exhausted already thinking about like how am I gonna put that together.
You'll have like a 2-year-old and an almost 4-year-old then. You'll be fine.
It'll be totally fine by then. Yeah.
They'll totally be chill in. Life. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
They'll be behind the tap pouring.
Yeah.
I've always been like so scared of the idea of starting a brick and mortar. Was that like scary for you to get a physical location?
No, only because I had to. Like when you're making a food item, you like have to do it in a commercial kitchen. There's some caveats, like if you're selling at a farmer's market or something, you can do what's called cottage law. And that really is only for certain types of foods, too. It's not like everything can be made at home. For us, it felt there was just really no way to do it other than getting a real a place to do it. Now, you may be referencing like my actual storefront that I have today. That came a few years after starting Kat Bucha. My initial location was across the street. In a brewery, and I just kind of rented space in like an extra part of their warehouse that they did use, but just not for really production, more like storage and some light cleaning and that kind of thing. So I was there for about 3 years. And then, you know, the owner of the brewery, who was so awesome and helpful, Roarback Brewery, John Erlap, who's so helpful, he around the 3-year mark was like, all right, you know, I think. You know, he wasn't kicking me out by any means, but I think he was feeling like, yeah, you're doing good. You know, maybe you should try and expand and grow this. And I was feeling the same way. You know, I literally had my space was not that much bigger than the room we're in right now. And I was making it work, but there was just no way that it could keep going that way.
When did you start to take on employees? Was that while you were still in that old brewing space?
Yes. Yeah, I had one employee at that time, and maybe like a year in. So not that, but it was only a part-time person just to help with mainly bottling. At that time, I was doing glass bottles all by hand, we could do like two at a time off of this bottling machine, but like we had to label them all, sanitize them all, fill them all, cap them all. And then it just was a lot. And then doing some of the markets and stuff like that, just having a second hand, because especially when you're the business owner, people want to talk to you. And there's other people that are like right behind them that want to buy something.
It's always
like nice to like have somebody else to, if you're like having a conversation, because that's how a lot of things get, how a lot of connections get made is like, we're just at the market talking, or we're at an event talking. And it's like, you also need somebody there to do the real job too.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you got help somewhat early on then.
Yeah, I had a great, my first employee, Holland, they're so awesome. They, I think, went off, got married, moved back to Michigan where they're from. And I think they're a librarian now, which is my second employee to go off and become a librarian.
Well, that's pretty cool. I know. Fun little connection.
Yeah. So now we have three employees and a couple like auxiliary people who like to call in when we need help, which is actually the lowest amount I've had in a little while, but it seems to work with everyone's like availability and scheduling. And it works for me too, to not have to like throw in like one extra person to do like one shift a week or something like that.
That makes sense. You mentioned there have been like a lot of hurdles along the way and things you've had to figure out. What have some of the most challenging parts, or what were those hurdles like?
When we started, nobody was making kombucha, like almost in the entire state. I mean, damn, you could count probably on one hand, like, or half of one hand, how many people were making kombucha. That's in the wild state. So the biggest hurdle was like, you know, what do we need like regulation wise to make this product and sell it? And, you know, for me, in the beginning, I'm just like this person that knows how to make kombucha. And I don't really know anything about like food safety, like, to be honest. I'm not trying to like expose myself, like I definitely do now, don't get me wrong. But like, I didn't realize, you know, certain things. And some of the hurdles were not only like educating myself, but also kind of like educating the state on what is okay and not for kombucha. I think the state would be really happy if everyone pasteurized their product, and because there are live cultures in kombucha that actually add to the benefit of kombucha. They're not a bad thing. Just like there's live cultures in like honey, for instance, you know, it does kind of add this like variable into things, and it makes any sort of regulating body like the state like a little bit nervous. There are regulations though for kombucha, and so you just have to like remind them that this is what the great state of New York has put out in front of us. And, you know, all of our inspectors have been really, really wonderful that way in general. But it is kind of funny when you're like meeting your inspector for the first time and you've just started a business and you're like educating them on like how to, it's not like going into a cidery or a brewery or even like, you know, a sauce making facility where like these things are like highly done all the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my first inspection was like 2 hours long because I had to like show her.
Wow.
Meanwhile, they really should just be looking for like mouse poops and like if I have the right amount of sinks and
yeah, right.
That my pH meter works. So that's probably like I would say in the beginning was like the biggest hurdle was like, okay, are they going to shut me down? Or are they going to take this $175 and give me that piece of paper that says I'm good to sell? Uh-huh. You know, like.
That's such a fascinating process. I've wanted for a while, since New York State legalized human composting, I thought it would be amazing to bring that to Rochester. Wait. And that scares the shit out of me to do that. And
you're like, talking about like dead bodies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Totally different than social media. But I think that,
hey, maybe there could be like a cross collab with our businesses. I don't know.
Right. Like you mentioned the live stuff in kombucha. Like, they like compost the bodies with live microorganisms. So
this is terrible because I feel like this is going to get pulled as some sort of clip of me being like
dead bodies at the kombucha place.
Yeah, I know. I've always joked like, collab. Oh, I know where to hide one, you know.
But like New York State hasn't developed the regulations yet. And it's the kind of thing that I'm like, oh, I don't know how any of this works. Like, I'm not going to become a lobbyist. I'm just going to give up and wait for someone else to do it. So it's really impressive that you were like persistent and educated.
I've actually gone on Capitol Hill and lobbied.
That's amazing.
For kombucha.
Wow.
Yeah. It didn't really work out. But I mean, I wasn't the spearhead person either. Mm-hmm. But I did represent, you know, like, our part of New York. Yeah. And Joe Morelli sent me a letter and stuff. You know, he's supportive of our bill. But
what was the bill about?
I'm glad you asked. It's basically it's tax law. It's to carve out kombucha from excise taxes from alcohol, which would allow kombucha to be kombucha legally has to be under 0.5% alcohol to be considered non-alcoholic. But this bill would allow kombucha to be, I think, under 1.25% alcohol and not be subject to alcohol excise taxes. Mm. The whole pitch behind it is basically that when the 0.5% alcohol number came about, it's like completely arbitrary. Nobody ever thought that a drink like kombucha would be like this situation. And it holds back businesses, basically, or it encourages businesses to do kind of like unnatural processes to their kombucha to fit this kind of really like rigorous number. We tried, but it was like 2016 through 2020 times, which, as some of your listeners may remember, was Trump won. Nothing got done in the House or the Senate. A waste of like $1 million. Not mine, though.
Feels like so long ago, too.
I know.
So weird.
Well, we don't have to go there, but.
No. I'm curious what it was like taking maternity leave, running a business like Kombucha when you had Sylvie.
Well, I was really lucky that Sylvie was born sort of like right before Thanksgiving, which actually is kind of a busy time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It worked out. You know, my employees knew what was happening. And everything was kind of like set. And then after Christmas, it's very chill time. January, February are our slowest months. It's most people's slowest months. So as I was starting to return to work, it felt kind of natural. But I did go into work like literally like 5 days after coming home from the hospital.
Was there some issue you had to go resolve?
Yes. We had like this, like, a wild yeast actually was infecting some of our tanks. Of course, it's like literally the perfect time. You know, something, talk about a hurdle that I didn't know how to handle. You know, you think you're doing everything right. I'm using like literally all of, you know, everything that I thought was like good enough for cleaning, for brewing stuff. And we took everything apart. I'm like literally like with a toothbrush getting into, you know. So we cleaned everything up. It didn't end up working. And then I ended up going back in the hospital for my preeclampsia.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It was very stressful, actually. I'm really, like, looking forward to that not being the case this time. In the end, we figured out that there's actually, like, a next level up of cleaning chemicals. That's been a game changer for us. We've changed a lot in how I think we're the cleanest. Forget kombucha, but like I feel like we have to be the cleanest like brewery anyone's ever been into.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm like, we're like, I'm so meticulous about it because it's it is microbial, so if you don't do it right, like, we will find out, but you might not see it before it, like before it's before you start brewing, you know, because it's microbial, like everything looks spotless, but once things start fermenting, you know, commingling, you're like, wait, something's not right here.
Wow.
I did a lot of reaching out to other, I didn't really plan on talking about this because I feel like it's like one of those things too where people might be like, oh, like something's wrong at Kombucha or whatever.
We can cut it if we need to.
It's fine. I just, it is something that happened. I think it happens in a lot of places too, like that you get like a, like wild yeast exists. And I'm pretty confident ours came from using real maple syrup. So I don't feel like
that's a good thing
bad about like why it happened. It just sucked because the answer took a lot of figuring out, and there's like no one like that could be like, that's 100% what's going on here, and let me show you how to fix it.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had like kombucha mentors or if you were scouring the internet or like down a Reddit rabbit hole. Like...
Yeah. I took samples to Cornell.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They were just like, yeah, just make sure you clean everything really good. I was like, cool, thanks, guys.
Sheesh. It was a lot to deal with at 5 days postpartum.
Yeah. The people that helped me out the most were the folks at Ultimate Brew Services, which is like a company here in Rochester that help basically like if you're starting a brewery and you have the cheddar, you hire those guys to come set it up for you. When I told them what was going on, they weren't like, oh, this is exactly what's wrong. But they were like, use this at this concentrate. It'll annihilate everything. I was like, great.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, and they're kind of like, they've been great ever since. I text them all the time. I'm like, what do you think about if I do it this way or that way? Or like, you know, I feel like to this day, I'm still learning about some of the best practices and stuff, even though they gave me all the manuals and I'm doing everything by the manual. But I'm like, then they tell me something over text. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I wasn't doing it that way.
There's a lot to it all, I'm sure.
Yeah. So it's still, you know, it's fun. Like kind of how I was saying earlier, like with how you're like trying to take on all these things, like you're starting this podcast and you're kind of like blowing up your work life a little bit. Like, it's like, isn't it kind of great though that we're flexing that part of our brain? Mm-hmm. As much as I've had like moments of like, wow, somewhere I fucked up. It's also like really gratifying to like figure it out still and kind of feel like I've like unlocked a new level of, and now I can really feel super confident. Like sometimes I'll see like reels and stuff of other kombucha places, not necessarily in Rochester, mostly like mm-hmm. I'm like seeing these ones in like California or somewhere else. And I'm like, there's no way they're cleaning that like the way that they should be, like this, like because people make fermenters out of other things and I'm just like, there's just no way. But that's just my own like
totally yeah
that because I'm like so in it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm definitely sweating talking about this.
Was the rest of your maternity leave a little more restful after that, or did you have to keep coming in periodically?
I'm gonna be real, I wasn't just not showing up for weeks on end. Mm-hmm. I was always there like one day a week afterwards, even if it was just for like an hour or two, just to get in, see what needed to be ordered or do payroll. Or I have a full-time employee who's amazing, and she keeps a lot of stuff rolling for me, but like she's not me either. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. She can see the big picture, but she's also doing all the small picture stuff. So it's a lot to put on somebody to be like, all right, also handle mm-hmm. what's to come. So likely same with this next baby is that I brought Sylvie with me. Mm-hmm. She was like asleep in the car seat. And there's a couple days a week that we're closed. So it's like, you know, that's what we'll do is we'll come in on those days probably and just make sure things get done and kind of keep moving. This next baby is going to be born midsummer, which secretly is also kind of a low time of year. This like mid-July through mid-August is when everyone takes vacations before school starts again. But it's definitely more like the season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's more the market season and that kind of thing. It'll definitely feel a little different this time.
Yeah, I'm sure. I try to do as much as possible before I was out on my maternity leave, which is so much easier with like a service-based business. But mm-hmm. I think you probably have much more that comes up day to day that you couldn't like plan for proactively, right?
There's also like slight variabilities in fermentation as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can kind of say like, okay, yeah, for sure on this date, we'll have this ready. But it's like, well, what if it's not exactly? I wrestle with that. Like, do I pull a ferment a little bit early, even though it should be ready, just because that's like the scheduling of it? Or do I let it go like 24 more hours and it's like a little bit more like what I want? It's definitely a lot easier to do that second route, the route that I prefer to do when I'm not pregnant. Mm-hmm. I'm not just having a baby. It's also me being like a perfectionist or attempting to make sure that like it's always reliable.
Which is probably a big part of why you're so good at what you do.
I don't know. I don't know. Thank you. I don't know how to take a compliment, I guess. But
I was also going to say, what was it like going back to work? But it sounds like you weren't away all that much since you were checking in pretty often.
I was literally like emailing people yeah. in the hospital. I was too.
It's like, my baby is here early. I can't.
yeah, for sure. Yeah. For your situation, it's like, how do you prepare for that? No, I went back kind of immediately, but just definitely not at like the pace, mm-hmm. you know, but I had my hand in it still right away.
And even though they won't remember it, how cool that your little girls got to be there, like watching their mom do this from such a tiny, tiny age.
I hope that they'll feel like inspired by that and not like resentful of that. My parents were always at work, it felt like, when mm-hmm. I was growing up. And I kind of talked to you about this like off mic, but like they're physicians. And I think a big part of why my sister and I decided not to do like medical school was because we didn't want that like lifestyle for mm-hmm. our families. Well, now, I mean, surprise, surprise, work is like constant, right? Yeah. Like no matter what you're doing. Crazy. And yeah, I definitely didn't choose the easier route. But maybe I felt like it was the more me or more fulfilling route. Mm-hmm. It, like I said, it's kind of like was an accident. And now I'm just in it and I can't stop. I don't know.
I was going to ask how your relationship with work changed after having Sylvie, or is it kind of the same as it was?
I don't know. I think sometimes I have a bit more of a tendency to expect things to be done very consistently and very like, maybe my expectations are a little bit higher now that I'm a parent. Mm. And I think that mainly comes from like the lack of time that I have available for work. So it's like, I don't want to be wasting time mm-hmm. with mistakes or with, you know, so, but the thing is you can't just expect perfection every time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not perfect every time and stuff happens. Maybe that. I definitely have been feeling, as this pregnancy has gone on, I've definitely been feeling like I'm just wanting to be at work constantly and getting a lot done. Mm. I joked with my employee, like, I'm like, I'm nesting, but like only at work. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm about to get 4 new tanks delivered next week that are going to be like, I don't know, each one of the new tanks is like 3 of my current tanks volume-wise. Wow, so I'm like setting up.
I feel like I did that too. Like I got my whole syllabus ready for the fall semester in May, like 2 weeks after classes ended, because I knew the baby was coming soon and couldn't do a lot of nesting.
Were you happy about that though? Like, were you happy that you did that for yourself?
Yeah, I think it helped a lot, especially with him being so early.
Right.
And then like I was going to schedule content for 2 of my clients 2 months in advance, and I got through 1 month of it, and then the baby came. So I was like, well, I'm glad I got half of it done. Like I thought I'd have more time, but.
With Sylvie, she went long. I was eager. I was like, let's go. I want to meet this kid, you know, like it's been 10 days or so afterwards, but.
Everyone was like, oh, it's your first. You're going to go so long. And then my water broke at 36 weeks. And I was like, guys.
Yeah, I know. I keep like worrying that's going to happen for me this time because I'm doing a scheduled C-section mm-hmm. this time. I'm not sure if I said this earlier, but Sylvie was a C-section. And so we're just doing a scheduled this time. I took my minute to think about it. I mean, I really only decided a few weeks ago that's what we were going to do. And I'm very happy about the decision. I feel really, really good about it, actually. I mean, this baby could decide to come at any point at this point.
Got a mind of their own, these babies.
I know. Well, and the body, too. I think it's like my body that didn't get there. Uh-huh. And I feel like Sylvie, too. Like, she was fine all 36 hours of Pitocin. Okay. She was chilling. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, girl, can you descend? But. No.
Yeah, it was weird for me because my water broke and then like nothing happened. So they had to induce me because they're like, we got to get him out of there. Stop. You're going to get like some kind of infection if your waters are just broken and he's chilling.
Oh my. No.
And then he came out after like 20 minutes of pushing. So it was like he was ready. He was like, I'm eating myself out of the womb. I do not want to be in there.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
That's crazy.
For me, the second time around, I was really kind of like feeling like, okay, I want to do the natural birth. Mm-hmm. There's something about having a C-section, and I know that other C-section moms are going to be listening to this and think, I just think it's like taboo to talk about, but like, whatever, I'm going to say it. It's like, I think you feel as a C-section mom, like that you didn't really like give birth, quote unquote. Like, you didn't push a baby out. Even though, like, everyone says, like, oh, yeah, like, I mean, I did give birth. But at the same time, like, I didn't push the baby out, you know? And I think there's, like, this hang up in my mind of, like, yeah, I know this is my last baby. So I'm like, this, you know, I have to have, like, that experience. Otherwise, like, it's like that's freaking imposter syndrome again.
Yeah.
But, like, for birth and for motherhood.
Yeah, and
like,
you're an amazing mom, and you brought this person from, like, another dimension into the world. Like, it doesn't
just
matter
these,
what
like,
way
they expectations
came.
We put on ourselves, you know?
Totally.
And once I, like, let go of the idea of, like, needing that, I'm so much more free. Like, I feel so much freer about the whole thing. And for me, like, the decision is entirely so I don't have an induction again and I don't get preeclampsia again.
Mm-hmm.
No one can tell me for sure that my preeclampsia came from my induction, but no one can tell me it didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I have amazing blood pressure. Always. Like, with Sylvie, as a person that was never pregnant, as a person that's pregnant right now, like, if I get preeclampsia again, well, fuck me. You know, I guess it wasn't the induction.
I feel like our society hypes natural birth so much right now.
Yeah.
And it's probably part of the whole, like, alt-right tradwife stuff that's been on the rise so much. But, like,
I'm so annoyed
by
that. Okay.
If you have an epidural or not, like, it doesn't matter.
Like,
you brought a human into the world.
I am a white girl that has a kombucha business and likes making sourdough. Why did you have to, like,
red flag?
I know. Come on. I mean, like, I also voted for Bernie and Jill Stein. Don't come for me for that, but whatever. I just, like, I hate that. I hate that it's, like, co-opted, you know?
I know. All the wellness grifting going on.
I will say, not to be, like, too controversial and, like, slightly bring it back to the business end of things, like, oh, yeah, we get all sorts of customers.
Mm.
And everyone's, you know, everyone, for the most part, is great. I will say, like, no matter what side of the political spectrum you are on or what side of, like, the health spectrum you're on, most people are, like, really, like, genuinely wonderful people. I've made a lot of really good friends with my customers. And they run the gambit as far as, like, some people are in it for the gut health. Some people are in it for, like, some other sort of, like, alternative wellness health sort of things. Obviously, more lately, people are in it for the non-alcoholic trends, which is very cool that I feel like I went from, like, one niche of being, like, in the wellness sphere and just totally sliding into this other developing niche of, like, non-alcoholic drinks. Completely, like, not of my design. It just happened that way. So I got lucky that way.
I'm curious what you think the future holds for your business with all the wonderful people you've met and you've grown so much. What's ahead?
It's hard to say. I really do feel like we have a great business. We have a great product. I really enjoy what I do. I am actively trying to grow it in ways that I feel like...
The dead bodies?
I'm not trying to grow any kombucha out of your dead clients, but thank you for asking. We can talk about it later off mic for sure. No, I'm just joking. But no, yes, exactly. I'm a big true crime girly, so we could talk. But as far as, like, where it's going, my aspirations are, let me just start there. I want to own my building, or I want to buy a building. I'm just going to lay my cards out there on the mic for everyone to hear. We have been looking, no news to break or anything like that, but, like, that's definitely where things are headed. And I guess if I can't own a building, or I can't own my building sometime within the next, like, 5 years, I really don't know. You know, it just is not sustainable to continue the way we're continuing as renters. That's kind of, like, the big cloud over me, which can sort of part ways and be a big sunshine thing, or it may stifle me and we won't go on. It's just kind of the way it is. You know, you just can't do it. You just can't rent and keep getting confined by that forever. Guess that's, like, the big thing that I'm looking forward to is hopefully finding either that I can buy my building that I'm in now, which would be awesome, or find a new home for Kombucha that we would own. And then once we can secure like the building, I think sky's the limit as far as like production and really maybe even moving into not just kombucha, but like other beverages too. Although I'm going to say right now we can revisit this in 5 years, but I don't think I'd ever do anything alcoholic. I've thought about it so much.
Yeah, what kind of other beverages were you thinking?
I don't know. I
mean, like the prebiotic sodas are big. Would that be like adjacent?
Something like that. Or I'd even like do it for another company that had like a recipe that they wanted or something. Mm. You know, like if we had like the space and the facilities, like it opens up that kind of revenue stream as well, being what we call a co-packer. At the moment, yeah, I mean, I'm for sure we're just focusing on our own product. And maybe making that next step as being like building owners. And I've been trying to do a couple of things to help with that, like becoming like certified women-owned business, that sort of thing.
I believe in you. I think you can do it.
I think so, too. I'm excited for you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm prepared to like have this like mental step backwards as soon as the new baby comes. But I think it's going to always feel like really encouraging during that time that I got to like this mental step forward where I am like right now to be like, okay, that is still there. That's like still in you and it's going to come back around and like you will sleep one day. The hormones will even out. Your hair will stop falling out. Like it's all good.
Well, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for baby number two to arrive. Thank Thanks for coming on and sharing your story, Kat. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I really appreciate you asking me. I'm excited to chat.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.